1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want us to encourage one another to pray and to pray for our country, pray for our nation. You know, in the history of nations, the prayers of God's people have always made a difference, have always made a difference. We see much evidence of this in biblical history, the history of Israel and Judah. Divine intervention then follows in response to this intercession. I know you remember when the Moabites and the Ammonites came to attack Judah, and Judah faced potential disaster. Well, what did God's people do? They prayed. They prayed. And this prayer was led by King Jehoshaphat. He and the people of Judah cried out to the Lord. And what was God's response? Well, he defended them. When they humbly acknowledge that we have no might against this great company that comes against us, but our eyes are upon thee, God heard and God delivered his people in such a way that the fear of God came upon all the surrounding nations. God didn't just give victory over the Moabites and the Ammonites. He really gave victory over all the enemies that Judah had. And certainly this nation, the United States of America, can recount numerous times in which God has heard and intervened on our behalf. I think of the Declaration of Independence, which marked the birth of this nation. In declaring our independence from England, it affirmed this nation's dependence upon Almighty God. It's independence from England, but it's dependence on God. Listen to the closing words of this document. It solemnly declares, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And later in the summer of 1787, the representatives of this nation met in Philadelphia to write the Constitution of the United States. But they struggled. They struggled for a number of weeks to put this document together. Well, after little progress, 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin addressed the troubled and disagreeing convention that was about to adjourn in confusion, and he said the following. He said, in the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer. We had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. Have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning. And of course, you know the result. The U.S. Constitution came into existence. And what a document that is. And so I say to you, as I echo Benjamin Franklin's plea, have we now, as a nation, forgotten this divine and powerful friend? Do we imagine that we no longer need his help? I think God is showing us otherwise, and I think he's doing it right now. And I implore you, might we once again seek the assistance of God, from whom our blessings flow. Now, often we consider the remedy for this country's blight, and we quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, "My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land." And please understand that these four actions, we humble ourselves, we pray, we seek God's face, we turn from our wicked ways, are not intended to be understood as steps in a process, but rather as contemporaneous facets of an active attitude marked by humility, prayer, God's reliance, and repentance, which all tells us that for God to heal our land, we as believers must reject self-reliance, self-trust, self-seeking, and employ a conscientious dependence upon God, meaning there is an active submission to Him and a determination to live out our lives for Christ. And so again, prayer is necessary. It's a necessary practice if God is to once again heal this land. I want us to look at Paul's admonition to pray and to pray for our leaders. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." What we have here, 4 points. We have the nature of prayer, the breadth of prayer, the profit of prayer, and the goal of prayer. Paul says here in verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Here we have the nature of our prayers, and which should include 4 parts. Notice again those parts: supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. Now, when we supplicate in our praying, we are expressing a sense of need. Knowing we lack, we plead with God to supply it. And in our praying, we are worshiping, we are reverencing God. And when we intercede in our praying, we are praying with heart, with compassion. We are earnest in our praying. And then, of course, when we thank God in our praying, we are exercising a spirit of gratitude. We are thanking God for His faithfulness and His goodness. And so the nature of our prayers is marked by a sense of worship. We pray. It's marked by a heart. We intercede. It's marked by a dependence. We supplicate, and it's marked by thanksgiving. We say thanks. I say this is the spirit with which to come before the throne of grace. If you want to know how to pray, if you want to know how to pray, the nature of your prayers for this nation, those prayers should be marked by worship, by heart, by intercession, by supplication, dependence, by thanksgiving. Again, we implore God's divine help. And then we see at the end of verse 1 and verse 2, the breadth of our prayers. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks is to be made for whom? All men. We who are Christians are to pray, first of all, for all men, which means there is no place for selfishness. There's no one we are to exclude. We are even to pray for our enemies. Now, out of this universal group of all men, Paul specifically singles out kings and all that are in authority. And so in the U.S., we are to pray, in this country, we are to pray for leaders who occupy, we could say, the three branches of government: the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. You probably heard, and how sad this is, but the majority of Americans are unable to name these three branches of government. I say this, it's hard to pray effectively and knowledgeably when we're not even aware of who we are to pray for in respect to our country. I think a lot of people could use a civic lesson on who we need to pray for, the branches of government. And then under our third point, the profit of prayer, the end of verse 3 tells us, why we are to pray for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. We pray for these folk so that we may lead a what? A quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Paul is saying that the prayer for those in authority creates societal conditions favorable to the cause of Christ and the gospel. For quiet refers to the absence of internal disturbances, while peaceable refers to the absence of outside disturbances. Do you like living in a home with disturbances or with peace? Do you like living in a country that's filled with disturbances or filled with peace? Ladies and gentlemen, right now, this country is filled with disturbances. There's little peace out there. So we need to pray. And this quiet, peaceable life is then marked by godliness, which is a reverence toward God, and honesty, meaning dignity, moral earnestness. And godliness can refer to a right attitude, while honesty refers to right behavior, so that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our leaders had a right attitude and had right behavior? You don't see much of that, do you? The point is prayer that is marked by worship, by heart, by dependence, by thanksgiving for those in authority over us is very profitable. It's worth our time and effort to pray, because it leads to favorable and righteous living for us and also for others, which brings us to our last point, and that is the goal of prayer, which is the salvation of the lost. Notice verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, good means intrinsically and morally good. And acceptable means to receive gladly. And so such praying is good and gladly received by God. For this is good and acceptable, gladly received by God, our Savior. And why? Because it leads to the unsaved coming to a knowledge of the truth. Such praying, when we pray for our leaders, God honors those prayers by bringing salvation to the lost. Souls are saved. And isn't this the ultimate goal of the Church of Jesus Christ? The transformation of hearts. becoming a new creation in Christ, loving righteousness and hating iniquity. And can we imagine the effect that such additional righteous people then have on this country? With the result, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to all people. And so again, how important that we as Christians pray. But when God's people pray, He hears. God hears and God heals. He heals our land by healing our hearts. One by one. S.D. Gordon has said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is to pray. It's not the only thing, but it's the chief thing. The great people of earth are people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who could explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take time to pray. End of quote. Again, in the history of nations, the supplications, the prayers, the intercessions, and the thanksgiving of God's people have always made a difference. You say, well, Pastor, does it matter if I pray? Well, history tells us it matters. God's word tells us it matters. It makes a difference. And so I say, friends, it's time to pray. You know? It's time for God's people to earnestly beseech God on behalf of our country and the salvation of its people. I truly believe God's people made it a priority in their lives to pray that God will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.